Wow, nice to be in the house of the Lord on Sunday morning right here in Apostolic Faith Church. And I thought a fitting chorus to sing today would have been, "The Wind Is Blowing Again," you know, but anyway. But it is definitely blowing spiritually and naturally. But appreciate my fellowship with Brother Portman, and we miss Brother and Sister Schumacher being here, but sometimes if you don't get apart, you fall apart, you know, so, and, but I do want the word of the Lord to speak to you today. If you are a guest or a visitor here, I do welcome you, and I pray that the word of the Lord will be meaningful to you. Faith comes by hearing. Amen. And hearing by the word of God. So, you know, I think the enemy tries to bring little distractions into our mind or even little disturbances sometimes that so we don't really hear what the word of the Lord says. But it's good to focus on what the word of God is saying because that will give you faith. If the Bible says it, I believe it. And I've said it here before, I'm sure, but I remember I was talking with a visitor during an altar service, and I was turning to the book of Acts about the Holy Ghost and speaking with tongues, and we were talking, and he's sitting there, and you know, when you're talking, and his hands are like this, obviously, he doesn't like it very much, you know? So finally he says, I said, "I don't want this." And I mean, he was angry. He slammed the Bible shut and got up and went out the door. And I admit, I went after him because I'm a nice guy. You know, I went after him. And he's in his car and revved up the engine. Squealed his tires going out of the church parking lot. And it was standing right there that God gave me this message. It is cheaper to obey the Bible than buy new tires, you know? So people can get mad at this, but when you come back and pick it up and read it, folks, it hasn't changed. It still says what it says. It is what it is, and that's what it is, you know? So, all right, now, the reason I'm over here, I'm preaching at a small little church at 1:30 today, so over in Delavan. So if I leave here by noon, it's not because I'm mad at you or anything. I just have to be over to this other service by 1:30. But at the close of this message, this altar will be open. Do yourself a favor and come to an altar. Your sins can be forgiven today. Amen. You can be renewed in the Holy Ghost today. You can be filled with the Spirit of God today. You can be baptized and have your sins washed away today. Hallelujah. And a few people I shook hands with today says, you know, you tell me you pray for me, and I really appreciate that. I really don't have a home church per se, but this last Wednesday was the second anniversary of my wife's passing. I can't believe it's been 2 years already. But I do really appreciate your prayers. And next Sunday, I'll be 75 years old. And that's all right. You know, I didn't say that for, but the reason I say that is because I'm older than anyone I preach for anymore. I mean, I used to preach for the fathers. Now I'm preaching for the sons. Now I'm preaching for the grandsons of the father. So it's just amazing. But driving over here yesterday, even though it was so foggy and rainy, I started to say, "Oh, Lord." But then I thought, now I'm thankful it's not ice and snow, you know? And then that triggered a whole bunch of thankfulness in me, you know? I thanked him for this truth again. And I thanked him that I still have strength to minister, because so many men I've preached for, you know, almost everyone I've preached for is either retired or passed on. And even a lot of younger men I preached for just have so many, physical difficulties. And why God heals, I don't know, and why he doesn't heal, I don't know sometimes. Faith is not twisting God's arm, but I know he doeth all things well. But I'm thankful. I have so much to be thankful for. Amen. And I'm thankful for the relationship I have with Apostolic Faith Church. I do. And I appreciate so many of the faithful saints of God that I've seen through all the years I've been coming here. And then I commend you on your faithfulness. He's faithful to me. And I want to be faithful to him. So let's open our Bibles while we stand one more moment to the book of Luke chapter 14. The book of Luke chapter 14. And we'll begin with verse 16. I'm kind of technologically challenged here. Okay. When it says on and off, that's... All right. Luke chapter 14, beginning with verse 16. And a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. And the first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them that come in, that my house may be filled. And you may be seated in Jesus' name. The most wonderful thing that could ever happen to you is to be saved, to be set free. And salvation is a wonderful experience. Salvation is the gift of God. In fact, 800 years, even before the day of Pentecost, Isaiah wrote in Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 3, therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. With joy, you're going to draw water out of the wells of salvation. Now, our salvation is found in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ had not died or been buried or rose again, folks, it would be impossible for us to be saved. But we identify with that through our repentance, water baptism by immersion in the name of Jesus Christ, receiving the Holy Ghost with the Bible evidence of speaking with other tongues. On the day of Pentecost, when they said, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I want you to know, it is joyful to repent of sins. Joyful. Hallelujah. It is joyful to be baptized by immersion in the name of Jesus Christ. I mean, I've seen adults get baptized in Jesus' name, and they come up out of the water, and they kind of splash around in the baptistry, just like a baby in a bathtub. Folks, because it is joyful to know that all of your sins are washed away. It is joyful to receive the Holy Ghost. You come to an altar, you raise your hands, you yield your lips and tongue to the Holy Ghost, and you begin to speak with other tongues. And all the years and all the hundreds that I've seen receive this precious gift, when they finish speaking in tongues, and the pastor says, testify, how do you feel? I've never seen anyone sad. Oh, what did I go to the altar for anyway? No, folks, there's a smile on their face. I want you to know it is joyful to repent, joyful to be baptized, joyful to receive the Holy Ghost. With joy, we draw water out of the wells of salvation. the problem we have in the church world today is people know a lot about church, a lot about dogmas, a lot about religion, a lot about rules, a lot about restrictions, a lot about offerings, but they know very little about salvation. Salvation. Now, in the Word of God, salvation is like sitting down and eating supper. How many here like to eat supper? Yeah. Thank you for the chicken parmesan. I mean, you don't think negative about eating supper. You know, you sit down at this table and you say, oh, man, you mean I got to eat this 12-ounce ribeye and this baked potato with butter and, you know, this broccoli, this peach cobbler with ice cream? Folks, you don't think negative. Where's the food? Let's eat. Yeah. But, folks, in the Word of God, salvation is like sitting down and eating supper. Now, if Donald Trump invited me to the White House for supper, I would go. Really? Hey, Jonathan Mackey, you're invited for supper. Okay? So we're going to send Air Force One into the Milwaukee International Airport. We're going to send a limousine to your house to pick you up and bring you to the White House. I said, okay, give me the date. Man, I probably went out and bought a brand new suit just to eat supper, you know. Put on, and so, folks, I'm ready, and here comes the limousine. And I walk out, and they open up the door, and I get in the back of this limousine with the tinted windows and, you know, leather seats, you know, coffee bar, you know, stereo music, you know. You know, and I get into the limousine, and all the neighbors are looking out their windows. And I want to say, I'm going to the White House for supper. Yeah. All right. So I go to the airport, get on Air Force One, fly back out to Reagan Airport, and pick me up in another limo, take me to the White House. And I mean, here's the carpet. All right. And here's the chandeliers from Italy and the oil paintings on the wall. I said, man, this is amazing. I mean, I can't wait to eat. I mean, I've been paying taxes for a long time, and I'm going to get some of it back right now. You know, really. So they take me into this formal dining room. And here's this long dining room table, solid mahogany. And they sit me down at this chair, you know, and they said, okay, Jonathan, nice to have you here. Amen. For supper. And I sit there, and here's this beautiful china and silverware and red crystal and linen tablecloth. And I sit there, and I wait, 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 and I wait. Pretty soon I'm looking at the chandelier, counting the number of crystals on the chandelier. And then I'm studying the design of the wallpaper on the walls. And then I take my foot and I check the nap and see how thick the carpet is. Then I pick up the plate and turn it over to see really where, if this is fine china or not. And then I take the little knife and I hit the lead crystal to see how much lead is really in this crystal, you know. And so I just wait, and then I pick up my napkin, and I'm playing with my napkin, you know. And then they come in after about an hour and a half, and they say, all right, Jonathan, well, it's nice to have you here. We'll take you back home now. And I'm saying, what a disappointment. They invited me there to eat, and they never gave me any food. And know what? The fancy chandeliers didn't quench my thirst. And the fancy carpet didn't satisfy my hunger. And the fancy table setting didn't do anything for me. This happens to thousands of people every Sunday morning in Milwaukee and Racine, Wisconsin. Do you understand? They go to, now this is a beautiful church building, but folks, they go to magnificent cathedrals. And do you know if the high altars doesn't
give them any joy. And the fancy chandeliers, amen, doesn't satisfy, amen, their desires. Amen. But I want you to know in this building today, we have more than just nice chandeliers and wooden beams. There's a supper that is prepared in this building today. Hallelujah. And you can do more than just sit in a pew and sing a few songs and hear me preach. God wants you to taste of salvation, the supper of the Lord. Let's clap our hands for this. You can do more than just sit in a pew today. You can eat of something. Now, in the Bible, a great supper lasted for 3 days. A great supper. For 3 days. And what I've read, it was estimated it would cost $1,500. Now, can you imagine in Bible times how much $1,500 was? So it says, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. So he'd already spent $1,500. The table was set. The meat was prepared. The drink was poured. Because it was ready, you know, he bade many. And he sent out his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are ready, are now ready. Right now, it's ready. You can come and eat. And to my amazement, and to the Lord's amazement, they all with one consent began to make excuse. They did not have a valid reason, but they made excuse. And the first said, I bought a piece of ground I must needs and go see it. I pray they have me excuse. I mean, who would buy ground unless they saw it first? I mean, do you get a little brochure in the mail, 10 acres of ground, you know, forest, river, water, fertile soil? I mean, you just send $10,000 through the mail and then, well, I got to go check out this piece of ground. And then you go out and look at it and it's bottom ground, bottom land, and there's tree stumps and it's worthless. The second said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, I go to prove them. I mean you wouldn't prove them first? You say, boy, I got 5 healthy oxen. Boy, they can pull the plow 12 hours a day. They're really healthy. But now you go out and look at them. I mean, and the ribs are sticking out. They have anthrax disease. And you put the yoke on their shoulders and their knees buckle, you know. And the third said, I got married. Now, I don't know what he saw. When, you know, I mean, Jacob didn't marry the wrong woman, you know, because they got a veil. Uh-oh, all right, whatever. All right. But they begin to make excuse. Man, yep, I bought some land, I got to prove some oxen, and I got married. So the servant came and showed these Lord these things. The Lord is saying, where is everybody? Well, Lord, someone bought some land, another man bought some oxen, and another man is getting married. The Bible says that the master of the house being angry. You mean everything is prepared right now? I've spent $1,500 and they make excuse not to come. So now the master says, go out quickly. Why quickly? Because everything is ready right now. Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And I remember when Sister Mac and I went to Israel many years ago, we came out of the Watergate. We were standing by a taxi stand to get a taxi someplace, and there was a big stack of a lot of refuse and some newspapers laying here. And while we're standing there, pretty soon the papers move and someone sticks their hand out, and there was some poor man, folks, that was laying under these newspapers. And every time I think of that, I think of this verse of scripture. You mean here's a man digging in garbage cans, here's a man sweeping on the street, a man who hasn't had a decent meal in weeks. And someone says, you, sir, are invited to a great supper. Yeah, but I'm poor. Yeah, but the Lord is inviting you to this supper. Amen. Here's a blind man walking down the street with this cane. Yes, take my hand, guide me. I want to come to the great supper. Here's a man who's lame and cannot walk. Yes, I will come to the great supper. And you know what? And the poor came, the halt came, the blind came, amen, and the lame came. And know what? There was still room. There was still food on the table. There was still drink to be poured. So the Lord again says, go out to the highways and byways and compel them to come in, because I want my house to be filled. Listen, everybody, I'm here today. I am come as a servant of the Lord to tell you that everything is ready right now. Folks, on February the 24th, folks, repentance of sins is ready right now. There's water in the baptistry right now. You can receive the Holy Ghost right now. You don't have to wait till next Sunday. You don't have to wait till next Wisconsin camp meeting. Everything is ready right now. Folks, and this supper costs more than $1,500. It costs more than $15,000, more than $15 million. This supper costs the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Listen, Calvary is not a figment of some man's imagination. Folks, it's not a fairy tale. They really did take a man by the name of Jesus, and they beat him and put stripes on his back and bruised his face, put a crown of thorns on his head. Hallelujah. Nails through his hands and feet. Folks, a spear into his side. Do you know why? Because the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. But what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Listen, everybody, what we have here today did not come cheaply. Jesus died for what we have in this building. Hallelujah. So I come as a servant and say, everything's ready right now. You can be saved today. And this is my 45th year as a full-time evangelist. I pastored and assisted before that. And to my amazement, people make excuse. They don't. They turn their back on an altar and walk out the door. I've seen them walk out the door and light up a cigarette on the front steps of the church. Give me a reason why you do not want your sins washed away. Give me a reason. I mean, why? Folks, you don't want to have the lively hope of heaven in your soul. But people make excuse. A husband is an excuse. A wife is an excuse. A man's social position is an excuse. The boyfriend is an excuse. The girlfriend is an excuse. But people make excuse. And listen, when God is calling and touching and drawing, and people stick their nose up at the supper of the Lord, folks, this makes God gets angry at this. He's long-suffering. The Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. Listen, it is serious to come into an apostolic church and have an altar call and an opportunity to come and partake of this wonderful salvation that God has for us. Because Felix said, come back when at a more convenient season, I'll do it. The devil will make sure there's never a more convenient season. The devil doesn't want you to go to heaven. The devil wants you to go to hell. Do you understand that? Agrippa says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Yep, almost. Yep, you're almost. Just, come on, speak a little bit more, Brother Schumacher, Brother Portman, Brother Mackey. You're almost persuading me. So God is angry. So know what? Listen, some people, I've seen them stick their nose up at this, walk out the door. But know what the Lord says? Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, bring in the poor, the halt, the maimed, and the blind. Listen, everybody, I don't care what kind of name brand clothes you got on your back, if you have a monogram on your shirt, amen. I don't care what kind of a car you drive or what kind of a fancy car you have on that parking lot. Without Jesus, you are wretched, you are blind, you are naked, and you are poor. Hallelujah. You are, yeah. So I don't care what you think your physical status is, your spiritual status. You were poor, you were maimed, you were halt, and you were blind. And thank God there are still people that say, you mean I could be saved? Yeah, I want. But I'm a drug addict. Who's invited me? The Lord God is inviting you. But I'm an alcoholic, but you're invited. I'm an adulterer, but you are invited to come to the supper of the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't care what the sin is. I don't care what the habits are. I don't care how horrible the pit, how deep the miry clay. All things are ready right now. Let's clap our hands for that, shall we? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, what's interesting to me is that the word supper, is not found in the Old Testament. From Genesis to Malachi, 4,000 years, you'll never read the word supper in the Old Testament. Does that mean they didn't eat supper? No, they ate supper, but their relationship with God was not a supper experience. God gave the Jews, his natural people, feast days, the Feast of Pentecost, you know, the Feast of the Passover, the Feast of Trumpets, you know, the Feast of Tabernacles. Folks, they had, so their relationship with God happened about 6 or 7 times a year, right, at a feast day. Now, at a feast, there's nothing personal at a feast. There's a lot of crowds, there's a lot of clamor, there's a lot of ritual, but there's nothing personal. Now, supper is very personal. Supper is something you partake of every day. This is an everyday salvation. Supper is the last meal of the day. And know what? The night is coming when no man can work. Folks, this is the last meal, all right, of the day. All right. But Jews as individuals never had a personal relationship, all right, with Almighty God. Now, the first house Sister Mackie and I bought was only 1,100 square feet. We had a drop leaf table in the kitchen, a tiny little table, because if you kept the leaves up, you know, you couldn't move around in that kitchen. So we kept the leaves down. When we sat down to eat, then we put the leaves up. And people always treated us, you know, very nice. But sometimes it was just so nice to go to that, our old 1,100 square foot house that was over 100 years old, and just sit down and have some homemade chicken soup and a grilled cheese sandwich, you know? Because, you know, what was important was the individual sitting across from me. Yeah, it was personal. It was intimate. Yeah. But, folks, the Jews did not know God in a personal relationship way. They knew him because of feasts. Now, one of the feasts was the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles lasted for 7 days. 7 days long. Just in temple personnel alone at the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem, there was 18,000 people hired by the temple. Just in temple personnel alone, 18,000. Right? And by the 7th day, the city of Jerusalem had quadrupled in size because the feast days were so important to the Jew. And every morning, the high priest, they would open up the water gates, and the men would come out with a silver pitcher. All right? And they would go down, all right, to the spring of Gihon in the Kidron Valley. And behind him came all the Levites holding lulabs. Folks, these were tree branches with lemons hanging from them. And they would all trail behind the high priest as he was, and he would hold the silver pitcher up real high. And know what the Levites would sing? They would sing Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 3. With joy men draw water out of the wells of salvation. With joy men draw water out of the wells of salvation. And they would go down to the spring of Gihon in the Kidron Valley, and they would dip that silver pitcher into the spring, fill it up with water. They would come back to the temple through the water gate. With joy men draw water from the wells of salvation. They would go into the temple, folks, and everyone would sit down. And at the most crucial moment, the priest would dump the water out of the silver pitcher onto the golden altar. Wow. This is amazing. Look at how that water trickles down the sides of that golden altar. Man, see how pretty that silver pitcher is? Wow, man, this really does something for me. Day number 2, with joy men draw water out of the wells of salvation. Day number three, with joy men draw water out of the wells of salvation. Day number four, with joy men draw water out of the wells of salvation. Day number five, with joy men draw water out of the wells of salvation. Day number six, with joy men draw water out of the wells of salvation. Day number seven, the last day. Let's turn to the book of John chapter 7, shall we? The book of John chapter 7 in our Bibles. John chapter 7. John chapter 7 and verse 2. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. All right? Verse 10. But when his brethren had gone up, then went he up also unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. In fact, it said in verse 11, then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? So now, all right, verse 37, and it was the last day, the great day of the feast. Do you know what I believe, everybody? Jesus was standing right there when the water gate opened. Here comes the high priest with the silver pitcher coming out and all the Levites singing, with joy men draw water out of the wells of salvation. And that whole crowd was moving down to the spring of Gihon in the Kidron Valley. With joy men draw water out of the wells of salvation. And the priest with the flourish dips the silver pitcher in and fills it with water. And now they're coming back to the temple. With joy men draw water out of the wells of salvation. And Jesus is moving with the crowd. And there's something beating in the heart of Jesus Christ. He is the one who inspired Isaiah to write it. With joy men draw water out of the wells of salvation. And then they come in, amen, to the temple. At the most sacred moment when everyone is sitting down, amen, except for the high priest. All right. And so as he raises up the silver pitcher and pours the water over the golden altar, it says in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood. How can you stand? Only the priest is to stand. But he is the great high priest who was touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Jesus stood and he cried. One translation says he shrieked. One translation says he yelled. One of them said he shouted at the top of his lungs. Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Because Jesus looked at the faces of all these Jews, it was a feast, it was a tradition. Amen. There was nothing personal there. But Jesus said, if you're really thirsty, you can come unto me, and I will give you water that you will never thirst again. Hallelujah. So it says in verse 39, this spake he of the Spirit. Do you understand? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Your body is the temple of the Spirit of God. And if you're here today and you think the world is going to satisfy you, it's a dry and thirsty land, and there's no water there for the soul. Folks, the money will not satisfy you. Folks, the pleasure will not satisfy you. The sex will not satisfy you. The new house will not satisfy you. Only Jesus, only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Hallelujah. So if you're tired of the tradition, if you're tired of the custom, Jesus says, come on unto me, and I will give you water that you will never thirst again. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't care what the need is, folks. It's right here at the altar. Let's look at Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 in our Bibles. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and I will what? Sup. Yep, thank you, Jesus. I will sup with him, and he with me. That's what the Bible says in Psalm 34 and verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is what? He's not sour, he's sweet. He is not bad, he's good. If you like spicy, he'll be spicy to you. If you don't like spicy, he'll be that to you too. Whatever you need him to be, he's going to be. But folks, but if the Lord could touch your eyes today, folks, there's more at this altar than just six steps, some flowers, you know, some wood, some instruments, a pulpit, you know, a few monitors. If God could touch your eyes, there's a table spread here. And whatever you need is on the table of the Lord. Amen. Are you hungry? There's living bread at the table of the Lord. Do you need a friend? There's a friend that sticks closer than a brother at the table of the Lord. You don't know who your father is? There's an everlasting father at the table of the Lord. But you're sick in every illness. There's divine healing at the table of the Lord. Yeah, but I'm so messed up. I have so many decisions to make and no one's helping me. But there's a wonderful counselor at the table of the Lord. But there's sin in my life. There's forgiveness at the table of the Lord. I'm so thirsty. Yeah, but there's living water at the table of the Lord. Do you understand? I don't care what the need is. I don't care what the situation is. You can do more than just sit in a pew and sing a few songs. You can come to an altar and taste and see. Hallelujah, that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. But people begin to make excuses. They just do. Sometimes I ask the Lord, Lord, give me another example. What can I say that would cause somebody to step out of that pew and come to the table? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know what I like about the Lord? He said, whoever comes to him, he will in no wise cast out. You know, when you come to this altar, the Lord doesn't stand down here and say, do you have a college degree? Nope, can't come. You have $100 in your pocket? Nope, you can't come. Your skin is the wrong color, you can't come. No, whosoever will, let him come. Hallelujah. And it's not by chance, folks, when the Lord calls us home, we're all going to sit down at the marriage supper. Hallelujah, Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. So this carpet's not going to feed you. The lights aren't. Even my preachings isn't going to satisfy you, everybody. But Jesus is here. And the table is spread. Let's stand, shall we? And let's raise our hands and love the Lord. Let's raise our hands and thank him for Calvary again. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah. That's why it is an insult to God not to open up an altar, not to have you come and taste and see that the Lord is good. This is good you're coming. Folks, really, I don't need music to eat, you know, really. If you're here and you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, you need to come to an altar. There's a visitor here. I encourage you to come to an altar. Hallelujah. You need the Holy Ghost. Come on to the altar. Hallelujah. You're a backslider. Come on to the altar today. Come on to the table of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's right. You're sitting across right from Jesus now. It's just you and him. That's right. You can talk to him. Hallelujah. And he's talking to you in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, have your way, have your way. Jesus is here. Hallelujah, that's right. I want to repent of my sins, Lord. I need forgiveness today. I need the Holy Ghost. Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, have your way, Lord. Have your way, have your way. Jesus. In Jesus' name, and oh, the Lord is here, everybody. Hallelujah.